Back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, and we're spending time this morning with General Perry Wiggins, Executive Director of the Governor's Military Council. He joins us on the first Thursday of the month with our NBAF officials as well. I've been reading up on what's going on at Fort Riley here the past week or so, and there's a lot of leadership changes going on, and the fact that we just had a change on the position of Brigadier General. We have a new promotion that was announced last week, and somebody who is moving on.
Yeah, that's true. We had one that moved on, the O'Connors, and he's moving on to Korea. He'll be sorely missed. He was a good-looking, intelligent guy because he was an aviator. So I am parochial in saying that. And then we had Colonel Ganey, as the Army does. It recognizes talent, and we promoted him to Brigadier General. Matter of fact, a former Danger Six, Vince Brooks, that a lot of people out in the audience probably remember being here, came in from Texas and promoted Colonel Ganey. And it was a great opportunity to catch up with him and for him to catch up with some great friends here in Central Kansas. And in the summer rotation, which I think the Army does smartly, rotating people out in the summer so that children can kind of have less disruption in school. This is the time of year where a lot of the folks out of Fort Riley will be a lot of changeover, especially in the leadership.
We've got a phone call here. Someone has a question or a comment, so we'll get to them. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Good morning. I'm Stan Herman, third generation Manhattanite, and my grandmother called it Decoration Day. That meant it was a day where you decorated the Civil War graves. She was an old timer and said Memorial Day is Decoration Day. Yeah. That's what the original name was.
Yep.
And I want to thank General Wiggins for his service. I served in the Marines during the war that was forgotten, during the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yep.
In 1962, yep. October, I was in the Marines in Virginia. We were ready to invade Cuba there with our landing craft tracked, LVT, with 34 Marines on board, but they canceled that war because we pulled our missiles out of Turkey at the NATO base. And so that's why Fidel Castro allowed the missiles there in Cuba, because we had missiles in Turkey at the NATO base 90 miles from Russia. So we had to pull those out in order to stop the nuclear war that was going to come in October 1960. It was won without one shot fired.
No, I appreciate your service, albeit a Marine, right? Hoorah. Those were different times. And I think a lot of folks probably listening remember the drills we used to have to do in elementary school. Go out and, crawl under your desk and do those sort of things. That was a very trying and anxious time in our history. And thank you for the great Americans like yourself that stood on point and really backed down the Soviet Union at that point in time. Everybody thinks that Kennedy did that. Really, it was the big dog in the background that pushed the Russians back, I think, and our military members during that time, because we had folks that were ready and prepared to do exactly what you were ready to do. So thank you, sir. Appreciate your comments and the reminder that there's a lot of different conflicts out there. You can say Panama being one of them, the Dominican Republic being another, where Americans served and fought valiantly, and we never mentioned those particular conflicts. So thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for the call, and thank you for your service. Absolutely. I love phone calls like that. I love when people share their stories because, it's nice to have those personal reflections here for those of us that didn't live through that.
Yeah, Brandon, you bring up a great point, and I think the great reason for a radio show like this is to share stories like that of great Americans that walk and live among us that we brush up against, but we never have an inkling of the great part they played in our history of our nation and why it's the greatest nation on this planet. And so that's what I think those phone calls like that and questions like that and really educating us is important. I really truly appreciate hearing stories from our veterans across the state and the nation every day And I also enjoy hearing family members talk with great pride the service of some of their family members. And you know, we do it on Memorial Day so eloquently, but we don't do it the other 364 days as well as I think we could as a nation. So, yeah, I agree with you.
Well, and you know, I'm 36 years old. I don't know that I've ever stood by a missile in my life. But, you know, doing something like that would certainly humble you just to know that there have been men and women in our military who've had to deal with crises like that, like the gentleman who just called.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the Cold War to me was a war. No shot fired necessarily. There were many shots fired in the Cold War. Everybody thinks that there was not. Vietnam, a lot of conflicts took place during the so-called Cold War. But, you know, those adversaries, just like back then, are starting to creep back up into the picture. And I think America's ought to take note that when you are the bright shining light, and by the way, example is, I don't see any other nation that on their borders have people who are fighting and coming across 100 degree desert and challenges and dangers to become a citizen of that particular nation like we do here in the United States. But when you have that, everybody's always trying to take you down. I tell young people, you know, I'm not a big Patriots fan. I'm not a big Tampa Bay fan. I'm not a big Tom Brady fan, but the guy's good. And you always see people taking pot shots at him, trying to bring him down and do those sort of things. It's because when you're at the top, you always got to be expected that somebody's going to try to take shots at you. And it's the same with our nation and our military. So our adversaries, the Chinese and the Russians, we got to be careful and we got to watch out. We got to maintain a strong military here in this nation.
Yeah. I'm with you. I don't like Tom Brady. He's kind of cocky, so it's hard for me to. I mean, I do appreciate the fact that he's won 7 Super Bowls. I wish he hadn't won the 7th one, but yeah.
No, you know, my dad said it isn't bragging if you can follow through with it. So there you go. But you know, like I said, it's we as a nation, we don't have an understanding that nations don't think like that. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, and I love people with big hearts and good hearts. I tell my wife, she's got one of the biggest. But, you know, I always say you got to be prepared for the worst and then pray for the best. And in this particular case, I think that's what our military members, all those that wear the cloth of this nation, really do. We prepare for the worst and we make sure that we're ready, but we pray we never have to execute, just like this gentleman talked about. He was ready to get on the ship and go and execute his mission. But I guarantee you, there was a big sigh of relief when the ramp went back up and they didn't have to execute it.
Yeah, no question. Well, it brings up the, you know, the thoughts here as we have just a couple minutes left here. As far as the military budget is concerned, I know there's a lot of concerns with that going forward. What are you hearing from the federal level on how that's going to look here going forward?
Well, you know, what I'm hearing specifically is the Army in particular, since we're kind of talking an Army or Marine Corps, but the entire Department of Defense trying to maintain technology and sustain legacy systems that the military has, helicopters, infantry vehicles, tanks, those sort of things, is going to be a challenge under the current budget. Something's got to go if they're going to maintain manpower, which is force structure, people, and programs end up suffering when you have a constrained budget. And those are quality of life programs and those sort of things. It's a significant balance. So right now, what I see with the budget, and I'm a belly button, you know, a lot of people have opinions. So, I see that the Army's going to have to probably cinch up its, the military in general, going to have to cinch up its belt through this period. And probably you're not going to see much growth in size of the military, and probably not going to see a whole lot of investment in technologies over the next couple years if the budget stays to where it is. I will tell you that when they do submit this budget, you're going to have Congress probably take a look from their parochial foxhole and say, we need to put more money in to sustain these legacy systems because it boosts the economy in a lot of those states. So you'll see some adjustments in the budget. You'll see some pull and tug and some concessions, I think, before it gets put in concrete. But overall, I think you're going to see kind of the Army stay a steady state, the rest of the military stay a steady state. And you might see a little bit of growth, and hopefully we'll get some of that little bit of growth in itty-bitty units and small formations out at Fort Riley. I'm hoping so, and keep my fingers crossed for that. We constantly push to build our end strength at Fort Riley.
Yeah, we definitely want to see that. One more population at Fort Riley would help the whole Manhattan area, so, and Junction City as well. We're about out of time. Any final thoughts here, General Wiggins?
No, I just, you know, I appreciate, always appreciate the opportunity. And you know, the bottom line is I have a lot of friends that come back and say, hey, I heard you on the radio. And so I appreciate the opportunity to be able to talk to them about the military and their, in the region. But I also, ask folks to call in. I enjoy the questions and the interaction, and you might ask something or tell us something that we really didn't know or we need to put out to people. So thanks very much, Brandon, for the opportunity, and appreciate K-Man for all that they do.
All right. Well, we'll talk again to you next month. Have a wonderful rest of your month.
You too. Take care, Dave. Take care. We're going to go fishing soon.
All right. I'm looking forward to the call. You have my number.
Coming up tomorrow on In Focus, we have a busy day. Karen Hibbard will join us from CVB. We'll also talk to Greg McClure, K-State Research and Extension, and Karen Goose out at Kansas State University.